And he goes on and tells a parable. And what a parable is, it's just a story that uses some common knowledge, something that we all can relate to then teach something that's unknown or hidden. So he uses something that we can all understand, like a trip to Walmart or going to a buffet, and uses something that we can all relate to then to teach something else that maybe we don't know. So using common knowledge to teach kind of a hidden truth, hidden knowledge. And so we're going to see in this morning's parables, Jesus speaking to agricultural society, kind of working man society. He uses parables about farming and about fishing, something that everybody listening would totally get it because they're like, they know farming and they know fishing. So we're going to see in these parables, he's going to use something common to explain something new. Okay, Matthew 13, verses 24-30. I'm going to do my best to battle the wind here, the breeze, as we read this together. Right, Matthew 13, starting at verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like, that's that term. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, farming. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Verse 27, the owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? About the weeds. Verse 29, no, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Okay, so here Jesus uses this parable of a common knowledge of agriculture, of planting and harvesting. And so they all can relate to that. And to explain a truth. And what's really nice about this parable, he doesn't do this often, but this parable, we don't have to guess what he's talking about. We don't have to be like, oh, I wonder if this is what he means. Because a few verses later, he tells us what it means. So after this, a little while later, so he was speaking to the crowd with this parable. And then his disciples, his close followers, the ones that are like really tight with him, they come and say, Jesus, that whole thing about the wheat and the weeds, what was that really about? And he tells them. So let's just, instead of trying to guess, let's just let Jesus tell us what he means. So this is now verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seeds is the Son of Man. The field, and that's talking about Jesus. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. And the weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. You guys tracking all this, all these pieces? The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. And as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. So he's talking about this end period. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Okay, so here Jesus explains in very clearly what he's talking about. He's talking about this end of the age time when there is a harvest and where his kingdom is ushered in. He says the kingdom of heaven is like, and he talks about how this is going to happen. And so I think it's important for us to see, first off, each of these kingdom parables tells us a characteristic, something about the kingdom of God. And a characteristic that stands out in this passage is the righteousness of the kingdom. He said the kingdom of heaven is like, and he talks about all the evil being removed, all everything that causes sin being removed. And so the kingdom of this attribute of the kingdom of God is righteousness. The kingdom of God is a righteous kingdom, absent of evil and anything that causes sin. And in order for that to happen, there is a harvesting, a sorting of sorts, right? So there's going to be a harvest and a sorting. Wheat's on one side, weeds on the other. Actually, it's wheat, not wheats, right? Not agriculture, I guess. Wheat on one side, wheat on one side, wheats on the other. It's going to be this sorting, good from the bad, and in order to create this righteous kingdom. And this is the same language he uses in his next parable. I'll read this real fast. He just makes the same point. And down in verse 47, the parable of the net. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets, but threw the bad ones away. Again, the sorting. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So again, a similar parable about the kingdom of heaven, the same principle of this sorting, about God pulling the good from the bad, tossing the bad, and the good are going to make up this righteous kingdom. So the question proposed, though, in the parable of the weeds about evil, the disciples, the people or the, in the story, when there was weeds growing up amongst the wheat, so the weeds are the evil, right? And so there's weeds growing up a bunch of the wheat, and the servants go to the owner and say, how are there weeds here? Did you plant these weeds? Are you the reason there are weeds here? So if weeds is evil and the world, the field is the world. So it's like asking God, did you make this evil happen? And so they ask, did you put the evil here? And the answer that in the parable was no. And there will be a time that all the evil, all the weeds will be removed. So yes, there are weeds. I didn't put them here, but they're here. And there will be a time where they're all going to go away. All the evil will be removed. And then the harvesters are like, well, let's just uproot them right now. Let's get the evil out now. And the owner says no. And the reason is if we do, there's going to be some that are actually wheat that'll be thrown away as weeds. That in your haste to pull to get rid of the evil, there are some that are true wheat that will be mistaken as weeds. So the question that we're testing today about why does God allow evil? Why doesn't God just get rid of the evil, just pluck it out, throw it away, and just only have the good? Get rid of every evil, every cause of sin, every temptation, just dump it. And the answer is, he will. He is going to. That's the plan. When he ushers in his kingdom, he's going to pluck out the evil, and his kingdom will be defined as by righteousness. Righteousness will be the characteristic of the kingdom as all the evil is removed. And then you might say, okay, well, let's get on with it. Let's do it. Let's do it now. Enough of the hurt, enough of the suffering. God, you can do it. Just do it. Get rid of all the evil. Well, here's the reason why God doesn't do it now. Because we are the evil. Mankind is the evil. Humans, our sinful nature, our flesh, that is the evil. Sin in us is the evil in the world. That's the evil that needs to be plucked out. And God doesn't want any of the potential wheat to be thrown away as weeds. 1 Timothy 2:4 reveals that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And talking about this delay and waiting and waiting for his return and waiting for this idea of sorting out all the evil and only being having the righteous, about this delay. 2 Peter 3:5 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise to return, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And later in 2 Peter 3:15, it says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. We right now are in kind of an open enrollment season in the kingdom of God. It is open to anybody. You can be part of the kingdom of God. God's forgiveness is available to all. This is a season where, yes, there is allowed evil, but there's also allowed repentance. There's also allowed faith. There's also allowed a response of faith in Jesus Christ. So anyone could be part of the kingdom. Jesus wants wheat. He doesn't want weeds. He wants wheat. And so this is a period of waiting so that all the wheat can show itself as wheat. So God allows evil to happen, and he will put a stop to it. But this right now, we are in a season of God's mercy, in a season of God's grace. It's open enrollment season in the kingdom of God. Is God's goodness on display, the fact that he allows evil to happen? Isn't that crazy? God doesn't judge the evil yet because he's allowing a season for people to respond in repentance and faith. And that's the season that we're in now. So for you and I right now, we can look forward as we're living in this season right now. We can look forward to the day when Christ will return and remove all the evil. We can look forward to that. As all the causes of sin, all those temptations are removed, the flesh is done away with, and we can be fully righteous in his kingdom. So we can place our hope in that future. But as for now, here's three things I want us to focus on about that's revealed in this about the kingdom of God, which is very telling and helpful for the season we live in right now. So these are three quick things, truths about the kingdom of God from this parable. First truth about the kingdom of God from this parable that we just read, parable of the wheat and the weeds, is that one, not everyone will enter the kingdom. It won't be everybody. There is going to be a sorting. There's going to be some that are in, and there's going to be some that are out. And as hard for us as it is to say that and to think, oh, that's terrible, because we know God is loving, and we like to talk about how God is loving, and we like to take that love that we know God has for all people and to think that, well, he'll never judge anyone, that there'll never be a judgment, because God is so loving. This is true that God is loving, and he loves all people, but that does not mean that all people will be allowed into his kingdom. There is going to be a sorting. And God loving you isn't the equivalent of, here's what we usually think. God loves me. That means he affirms everything about me. He so loves me that everything I do is golden to him. That God loves me, so whatever I want to do, I get to do. God loves me and accepts me no matter what. But God's love for us, this season of God's grace and mercy, isn't just an affirmation saying you get to do whatever you want. No, Romans 2:4 tells us that God's kindness, the season we're in right now, of God's kindness, his withholding his judgment, God's kindness is meant to bring us to repentance. So the point of this season is repentance, is change, is accepting my way is not right and your way is right, and accepting your way, submitting our lives to the rule of the king, not just I get to do whatever I want, but instead submitting myself as a kingdom citizen to the king. In this time, so we're in this time now of no of God withholding his judgment. And it can feel like people get to do whatever they want and they get away with it. People get to live any old way. And a lot of the ways that kind of are opposite what the Bible would have to say seem like they're working out pretty well. And so we're living in this season where evil thrives and we think, well, I guess people can get away and do whatever they want because we're in a season. And that's what it looks like. But remember in verse 30 of our parable, he wrote, the wheat and the weeds are allowed to grow up together. That's where we are right now, in a season where the wheat and the weeds are allowed to grow together. Bible talks about, Jesus says in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, how God lets his sun shine on the righteous and on the unrighteous. He sends the rain to water the crops of the good and the evil, everybody. So God right now, God is not judging the world right now. So evil is allowed to prosper. But this season will end. This season of kindness and God's mercy will end. There will be a harvest, and not everyone will be part of the kingdom of God. So this is not an anything goes kingdom. And the reason for that, the reason not just everyone will be led in the kingdom, is the second thing we see about the kingdom of God from this parable. And the second is this, the standard for the kingdom is righteousness. That's the standard. Who gets to be part of the kingdom? The standard is righteousness. And when I say righteousness, I don't mean just like, so righteousness is fully sin-free, perfect and holy. Not less sin, it's no sin. Not better than that guy. I wasn't pointing at Ted. Better than generally, not better than the other person. God is the standard. Righteousness is the standard. That's the standard for the kingdom of God. The characteristic of the kingdom of God is righteousness, holy, sin-free. Therefore, anyone who is unrighteous are not allowed in the kingdom. That's the standard for who are the wheat and who are the weeds is righteousness. Jesus says the same thing at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who are awesome at self-righteousness, they were like the best. Unless your righteousness surpasses them, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God. So it's saying this idea of righteousness is a standard for the kingdom of God. And you may protest though, well, that's not fair at all. Because mankind is sinful, people are a mess, and if God is so loving, couldn't he just figure out a way to like, just get rid of the unrighteousness, just get the ugly stuff out of man, but still let man in. Like, why does he have to throw the baby out with the bathwater? Can't we just, like, here's mankind, here's this person who's sinful. Can't we just get rid of the sin and still let him in to the kingdom of God? Like, that'd be a lot better way. That'd be a lot more loving. Great idea. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he's done. When he sent Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ came to this earth to live a holy, sin-free life, he died on the cross to offer righteousness to mankind, to take our sin out of us. Even though I'm a sinner and I'm selfish and I make mistakes, in God's eyes, I'm righteous because I'm forgiven because of my faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us so that in him we become the righteousness of God. That all of us that put our faith in Jesus Christ have been declared righteous and have become citizens of the kingdom of God. We are become the people of God, citizens of his kingdom. God loves everyone in spite of their sin and has a made and has made a way for everybody, anybody, all people to be a part of his kingdom. This is the offer available to all people. He says, you can't come in with unrighteousness, but I will take away your unrighteousness. I will make you righteous. Just put your faith in my son as the king of this kingdom. And what's so cool then is when we do that, then he gives us his spirit, he plants his spirit within us, and he starts to root the unrighteousness out of our lives. He begins to transform us, the sin, the ugliness, the things that are part of the flesh. He begins to root those out of our lives. And our whole lives, he's rooting these things out of the corners of our lives and making us more and more like him until the day he returns and we're declared righteous and part of his kingdom. But sadly, we know that it's a wide road that leads to destruction and a narrow road that leads to everlasting life. Just as Jesus said in the parable that Terry taught yesterday, leading off this whole section, the parable of the soils, about how not everyone will receive the truth of the kingdom of God. Not because there's anything wrong with the message of the kingdom of God, but because different people are going to be at different levels of receptivity to that. The receptiveness of the listener is the issue. So, not everyone's going to enter in the kingdom of God. And the reason for that is because of the standard of righteousness, which has only come through faith in Jesus Christ, which leads us to our final thing about the kingdom of God. Third thing is this, and this is one where I want us to plant our brain on. Don't be too quick to judge who will enter. Don't be too quick to decide who's wheat and who's weeds. In the parable, the servants were ready to yank those weeds out. Let's get rid of all these evil weeds. Let's get all the weeds out. And the owner was like, hold on. If you do that, you will yank up some that you think are weeds, but are actually wheat. And some of the wheat would get thrown out. God is patiently waiting for the wheat to show itself. And I think we should join in with God and not being too quick to judge on who is wheat and who is weeds. There are people in your life that you are sure they are weeds. You look at them, they would never go for the kingdom of God. They would never end up having faith in Jesus Christ. It would never happen. But can I remind you that you were once pretty weedy before Jesus Christ got his hands on you, before placing your faith in him? We've all had ugliness in our lives. I can't tell you how many people, I don't hang out, I'm not a Facebook. I don't do all that networking stuff. But whenever I run into somebody from my high school, which is very rare, but when I do, they say, oh, what do you do? And I say, I'm a pastor. I get the same look. I get stink face. You're a pastor? Because they would think, oh, he's weedy. He would never be wheat. But yet God's transforming power, when he puts his work, when he puts his spirit in you and does this work in you, he can transform anyone. And God is patient. He's being patient right now in declaring who is wheat and who is weeds. And so let's not be too hasty to just cast people aside as weeds when they may actually be wheat that has not yet shown itself. So in conclusion, I know time right now, there's a lot of evil, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of division, a lot of people damaging each other, but don't lose hope. God is ushering in his kingdom, and it's a kingdom that is absent of evil and is defined by righteousness. Be without sin and without any evil. And this means not everyone will enter, but only those who have been declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. And while we wait for that day for him to return, can I just remind you of Jesus' words again in the Sermon on the Mount? We're going to be touching on the Sermon on the Mount a lot because that's a lot to do with the kingdom of God. Right after Jesus tells the people, he introduces this idea of a counter kingdom that he's ushering in, that's countercultural, counter what the people are all about. And he's telling them, in this kingdom, you don't have to worry about don't dedicate your life to what you will eat, what you will drink, and gathering earthly wealth and be all about that. He says, you don't have to live for those things. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need that stuff and he will take care of you. You know what he says instead? The contrast, instead of living for all those things, he says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you as well. So for us now, if you're waiting for that kingdom to come, it's a great reminder, be seeking his kingdom, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, that we would value his righteousness. We would take righteousness seriously. We would look at the sin of our lives and realize that sin in our life is not a kingdom activity, and it's something that God must deal with and is working out. Now, I'm not saying grit your teeth and do better, because that never works. I'm saying join with the work of the Holy Spirit. Engage with the Holy Spirit in his work, rooting that sin out and transforming you. Participate with the Holy Spirit as he's changing you and rooting that sin out. Let's take our righteousness seriously as a key defining characteristic to the kingdom of God, that we would take it seriously in our own lives as well. And not just seeking our own righteousness, but also the righteousness of our loved ones. And when I say seeking the righteousness of our loved ones, I'm not saying, yeah, you call out their sin, you tell them to stop it. Because that's, again, not what this is. This isn't, they can work and stop their, you know, grit their teeth and maybe stop their sin for a short time, but that doesn't make them a citizen of the kingdom. Citizenship of the kingdom comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And then in response to faith in Jesus Christ is righteousness and the Spirit removing that sin and working that sin out. So let's be ready to talk to our loved ones and be reminded that not everyone's going to make it to be in this kingdom. As much as we would love everyone to be in, there's going to be a sorting. The sorting is going to be based on righteousness, which is found in faith in Jesus Christ. So let's not be too quick to judge people as weeds or wheat, but just be ready to love and to represent Christ's kingdom during this season. I hope that gives you a defining activity to be a part of during this season. And I know it does for me, and I hope it does for you as well. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you have an answer for all this. Thank you that this is not forever. Thank you that you're returning and you will deal with the problem of evil. And God, in the meantime, I pray that you give us eyes to see people as you see them, eyes to see circumstances as you see them. And God, by your Spirit, you'd be guiding our actions, guiding our interactions with people, and helping us love as you love. Help us to live as kingdom citizens now as we wait for your kingdom to come in full. In Jesus' name, amen.